Christ said, I was created to make your praise glorious. Amen. How many know that? Lord, I was created to make your praise glorious. Amen. Truly, thank God this evening. Amen. We're almost at the end of the first month of the year 2012. Amen. God has truly been good to us. Tonight, we're going to continue our subject on dealing with man, a new man, and identifying some of the struggles or the problems of the old man, because we want to be a new monk in the year 2012. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I said, what the guy said, preach.
None!
Yeah, we want to be a new monk for the year 2012. And you know, there are so many things happening, so many unexpected things happening. He called for us to call the hospital and pray for a lady. They went to bed last night, she went upstairs, and her husband fell asleep on the couch. You know, this is how husbands and wives and family members have learned to cherish the moments you have. Amen. Shirley Caesar used to sing the song, Give Me My Roses, while I yet live. But she went upstairs and her husband stayed downstairs, I guess watching TV, and he fell asleep. And when she went to get him this morning or sometime during the night, she went to get him, he was blue and cold. He was foaming from the mouth and he had stopped breathing. She called 911 and he's on a breathing machine. She doesn't know what happened. Life can change in a moment. You know, so, and then all of those little petty things that we got caught up on and fuss about and held on to don't mean anything. You know, I don't know their situation personally, but we did call and we spoke with the lady and we prayed with her. Amen. And she said that he was at the point that the machine had to breathe for him. Her name was Sandy, I forget his name, but we want to stand and pray for them again at this time. And after that, we will remain standing for our scripture reading. But as I said, husband, wives, family members, sons, daughters, parents, cherish each other.
Amen.
Amen. Because in a moment's time, life can take a drastic change. And then we will live with the wounds and the thoughts of what could I have done differently. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up Sandy and her husband at this time. Lord, we come before you because our word declares that if we ask anything in your name, you're able to do it. And Lord, we all know your will in this situation. But we pray, Lord God, that you may intervene in some way. Lord, if it's through death, we pray that you might be glorified. Lord, if it's through healing, we pray that you might be glorified. And Lord, we ask you to hear our humble cry. Lord, we send this petition up before you even now. Lord, if it be possible, we ask you to perform a miracle. Lord God, for thy word said, declared unto us, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of the Lord. Lord, we believe. But Lord, we ask above all, may your will be done. And can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. We're going to have our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As I stated, we're going to continue more on our same thought. Train of thought that we had for the January 2012. How many want to be new? Amen. Lord, I want to be new means I want to be glory. I want to be holy. I want my life to glorify God. Amen. This, you know, status quo or just identifying with the world doesn't mean anything anymore. Amen. You can gain this whole world and then lose your soul. And Jesus said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So tonight is so important that we have our relationship with God in tune. Amen. Not for someone else, but for ourselves. Amen. We need to make sure that we can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, enter ye into the joy of the Lord. And we hear this often in church, and we hear so many different things in church, but it seems like when we leave out, we let those things slip. And tonight, we should ask the Lord. We used to sing a song years ago. And the song was Bread of Heaven, Bread of Heaven. Feed me till I want no more. How many want that tonight? Feed me, Lord. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, guide me. Lord, show me your hand. Lord, feed me till I want no more. Amen. And the songwriter goes on to say, guide me over. Great God, Jehovah. Tonight, if there ever was a time we needed the Lord, they said we sure do need him.
Now.
And this scripture is pretty much self-explanatory. We're going to read from verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to drop down and read from verses 16 to the end. So we're going to read 1 through 6, and then 16 to the end. If we all have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
All right, let us start. And I, brethren, did not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able.
Lesbianism and homosexuality, and they said, well,
God made me this way, but I was really born another way. Now, that's foolish. Because all you do, you know, you end up with X and the Y chromosomes, right? X, I think X means, I forgot what, XX is male and XY is female. You don't have to figure out how you were born, just do the chromosomes. God created us. It's not hard to figure out. Well, they say, well, I made this way, but I really am. No, you are what your chromosomes say you are. So it's not hard to figure it out. But the problem is this, the Bible says, do not deceive yourself. Today people are so deceived. And the scripture says plainly, the things that are abomination to God, and one of them is homosexuality. So don't, young people, let your peers, anybody influence you to go the wrong way. Amen. That's the wrong spirit. And you are what they say you are. If you know, they take all the tests and they just turn that you're a male or a female. And this is how the world is just messed up. You know? Amen.
Amen.
I got a quiet church, but that's all right. That means we're paying attention. I was going to do another one, but I don't want to stir it up. But you know what? You got to be able to identify. Sin is sin. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the president and what the Congress and the House of Representatives. I don't care what kind of mess they pass. Sin is all right. God says it's wrong. And the highest power in the land is God. Amen. Everybody one day is going to meet God. I think it's going to be President Obama. Whoever is in Congress or Bernanke in the financial institution or financial realm, they're going to all be God. And they're going to be judged. God's going to judge them based on the things that they've done in their body. So don't get caught in this foolishness. Amen. But this was a problem that even existed way back then. It was so much immorality and so much just ungodliness. And it brought confusion in the church. So Paul constantly tried to straighten out, because there were always somebody coming in and going through, because they were one of the major seaports. It was one of the wealthiest cities. The Corinthian church was one of the wealthiest cities. The Corinthian church was so bad, Paul had to reprove them. If you read in chapter 5 of the same 1 Corinthians, he had to reprove them because a man married his own mother, a stepmother. That's, you can't get much worse than that. But we need to have some kind of discipline and order in our lives. So Paul was dealing with them. And verse 1 reads, he makes it plain and simple. He doesn't even leave it up to your imagination. He says, and I, brethren, so he's speaking to who? Brethren. Who's on? Church. Right? He wasn't speaking to the world. He wasn't speaking to the unsaved. He was speaking to the church. He said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto. And that is the greatest challenge in the church. When we come to church, where is our mind? Is our mind displaced? Are we receiving the things of God, or are we letting them slip? Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Amen. You know, we keep sugarcoating salvation. And trying to make everybody seem so they're all right. The word of God is plain and clear. If you live right, heaven belongs to you. If you live wrong, how you gonna go to heaven? So Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto who? Carnal, even as unto. So he's saying, he's dealing, what are you doing? And that's what Paul was saying, plain and simple. Grow up spiritually. Plain and simple, it's time to grow up. Now, I think I said this before. What would you do if you saw a 40-year-old man walking around with a pacifier in his mouth? Would you think that's normal? Amen? Hello? Is that normal?
No.
If you saw a 50-year-old man, unless he had some kind of medical problem, sucking on a bottle, what would you think? Would that be what? You look at him and tell him, say, wow, something happened, something's missing. It's time for you to do what?
Grow up.
You know, even like down south, I don't think it happens as much up north, but you know, you got 50 and 60-year-olds still sucking on their fingers and thumbs. When you see that, you're like, wow, they never grew up. So it's time to do what? Paul says it's time to
grow up.
Amen. He said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual as unto carnal. So I fed you with milk and not with meat. It's time to do what? Grow up. For hitherto you are not able to
bear
it. Bear what? The meat of the word. Amen. Every time we come to church, we got to deal with things that should have been buried and dead a long time ago. Amen. Foolishness going on in the homes, foolishness going on in the families, and unforgiving spirits just don't want to be God. Paul said, grow up. It's time to get beyond that. How can we prosper in Christ when we're still babes? Amen. Saved for such a long period of time and still on milk. And can't get on the meat of the word. It's time to get into the real things of God. We can't get past the foolishness of a child. You know what Paul said? When I was a child, I acted like a what? Hello, everybody. It better stay here. I can get you to sing something to get us. When I was a child, Paul said, I acted as a but when I became a man, when I became an adult, when I grew up, he said, I put away those childish things. Amen. You know, as parents, I know when my brothers and I grew up, back then, you know, maybe three of us would sleep in the same room because, you know, you just didn't have the couches like they have today. So, and sleeping in the same room, two or three sleeping in one bed and one in another bed. And, you stay on your side. Don't put your feet on me. Don't get on the same childish stuff. And every night, we, for somebody to get a whipping for doing the same thing, night after night after night. He said, well, after a while, somebody needs to do what?
Grow up.
You know, how many nights can you stay on your side of the bed? I said, you see, I mean, how do you get caught up in so much foolishness? Right? That's part of my life. We got with every night because we just didn't grow up. Well, there's so much in church tonight, today the same thing. Well, this is that, and then we just get caught up in petty, trite, trivial things that don't even do anything for salvation. But Paul said, lay aside every weight. Most of us know not to sin, but it's the weights that does so easily. When we get caught up in carnality, that is a weight. And a weight easily besets you. I'm running for Jesus, I'm all excited. And you see him in church for 3 or 4 weeks and months at a time, and they don't have no joy, can't smile, and oh, I don't even want to come to church. No, I don't want to do anything, I just want to be in church. It's time to grow up. Amen. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. And Paul said, carnal is not unsaved. Carnal means you're saved, but you're walking as men. You're walking in the flesh. So, and he identifies carnality falls into three classes. Three classes is all you need for carnality. Everything else is just symptom of the classes. But the classes fall into three things. Carnality falls into three classes. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and division, he said, are you not carnal? The church is such a divided issue, such a divided entity. Always some kind of foolishness. But the thing is, back in those days, the Bible was New Testament was originally written in what?
Greek.
Good job. Good guess. Greek. Amen. You been studying? The Bible was originally written in Greek. Now Paul is addressing these three different classes that identifies carnality. All When your unsaved is called the natural man. The same man that's still on milk is called the carnal man because he has not yet grown up. All right, in these three classes, the first is envying. All three of these, in their time, they would have understood, represented either a mystical Greek god or a goddess. He was saying, you are walking around contrary to God. Envying was the Greek god Zelos. In the Greek, if you look it up, it means Zelos. And Zelos meant jealousy, just inward burnings, passions for no reason. That represented a Greek goddess. Zelos was a god. So Paul said, stop walking contrary to God like another god. When we are carnal, we are walking as other gods. So Zelos was a Greek god, and Strife was Eris, E-R-I-S, which was a Greek goddess. So Paul is telling, they would have understood it, we don't understand it, when he said you're acting like gods. When you're carnal, you take on the characteristics, not of the true God, but of the false God. You're acting in ways that are contrary to God. Now God says it plainly, I will have no other God before me. Paul is telling them to you see, but you're acting like a God before God. And then you expect to make it to heaven. Walking as carnal men in the flesh, God says, not so. And then the last one was division. I think it's dichostasis. That's a whole long word. But they all represented Greek gods and goddesses. So Paul is saying, because they understood the Greek, he said, you're acting like other gods. The number one reason that Eve was deceived is because Satan made her a false promise. And what was that false promise? That you would be like what? God. That was a slap in the face. That was in the front, right in the face of God. You will be like God. So Paul is telling the Corinthians church, grow up. You know there's only one God. When you have any of these characteristics of nature, this is now contrary to God. And Paul says, there are things I need to say to you, but I cannot say them because you are still carnal. In order for you to grow up in God, you must put these things aside. So he says, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? In 2012, we need to change. Amen. Envy, strife, and division, let it not be named among us because those are gods. And those gods will take you to hell. Because the Bible says plainly, I will have no other God. He said, I'm God and I'm God. So when you're giving that envy and jealousy type of thing, that's a goddess. God says, no, I won't have that. When you get into strife and just mass confusion, amen. Never has there ever been a time in the history of the church where there's so much confusion over baby stuff, petty stuff, childish stuff. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted as a child. But when I became a grown-up, I put away childish things. Amen. Let's get down to 16. Well, no, go back. I got to go over this. This is part of the confusion, of the division that's in the church. You know, you all hear people, well, I don't mind being around this one. I don't want to be around that one. I don't want to do this. I don't mind being this. Just always confusion over what? Baby stuff. He said, while one says I am of Paul, another
said, I am of
house.
He said, are you not what?
Carnal
means we walk as babes. It's time to what?
Grow up.
Division. Well, they're all in the church, but this is how the devil deceives us, through our divisions. Well, I don't mind being on this. I'm saying, that person on that, I'm going to do it.
Grow up.
Amen. We know the Bible says, God seeth not as what?
Man seeth.
God sees us in our heart. And 2 weeks ago, we went over the fact, and I think it was in Psalms 101, when the psalmist said, Lord, I will walk upright and perfectly before thee, not in the church, amen. Not when everybody else is watching me, but he said, I will walk upright and perfectly before you in the sanctuary of my own home. When you don't walk upright before God in the sanctuary of your own home, you are carnal. And we identify carnality is going to be one of three goddesses. Either it's going to be the goddess Zelos, which is envy and jealousy, the goddess Eris, which is to believe with strife, and Decostasis, which is division. They all represent gods. So we want to bring ourselves into check because we don't want to represent anything other than the one true God. Amen. When God sees me, when God looks at me, I have the burden placed upon me to be like God. Amen. Not that contrary to God. So we say, well, you don't understand. God understands. But we have to find a hiding place where? In the Word of God. We must bring our lives into check. So listen, you know, foolishness comes a dime a dozen. You don't have to look for the devil. The devil's always around. Amen. The Bible said we're not ignorant of his what? Devices that he should get the advantage. Amen. We need to bring about some spiritual change. Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. But we'll stop here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter. We'll come back to this in a minute, back to 16. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. It is time for us to do what? Grow up. Amen. It's time to get off the milk of the word. It's time for us to be an example to others. One of the greatest things they say about Christians is Christians can talk the talk, but it's a challenge for them to walk the walk. They can tell everybody what they ought to do, and in their time of testing, they do the very opposite. Well, it's time for us to grow up. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 13. We went over this not too long ago, so hopefully everybody remember that beginning portions of it. Verse 13. We're dealing with what tonight? Growing what? Growing up. I'm not going to even make you say amen because I hope it's hitting home. What good does it do to come to church? This is the hypocrisy of it all. You come to church, you jump, you shout, Jesus, hallelujah, praise, you run, you know, you cry, you do everything. Then you go outside the church and be the biggest devil in the world. That's not God. Amen. That's not what letting the light shine before all men so they may see your good works and glorify who? But we act so contrary. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? That means a mature man. Someone that's grown up spiritually. Unto the measure of the stature of the everyday Lord, I'm trying to be more like Jesus. To the what? Fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Now listen to this. We want to be saved. We want to be upright. Amen. We want to be spiritual. We do not want to be carnal. We do not want to walk as men. In other words, means we walk in the flesh.
You know, he said, don't say nothing to that person. You'll get told off. How does that happen in church?
Jesus.
You know, that's just not God.
Jesus.
That's not the fruit of the Spirit. Have you read anywhere the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, God says, tell them off. Right, go to Galatians 5 and read it. I think it's verses 22 through 23. Read it, the fruit of the Spirit. And when you act and do the things that you do wherever, whenever you do it, ask, is this in the fruit?
Jesus.
Is only how many fruits? One. And there are just 9 manifestations of that one fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, long-suffering, temperance. The Bible says against those things there is no law. But against carnality, there's a lot of laws. It's time to grow up. Okay, this one said, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by that's like you deal with either men deceiving you or you deceiving yourselves. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. A lot of times we don't see the setup. We don't see how we've been manipulated spiritually by the adversary. Cunning craftiness of men, but by the lying way to deception. Well, how do you not be deceived? Be spiritual. Pray. We often say, well, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. And you know, we've asked you this before. Keep a diary. You know, we don't keep diaries too much. Keep a diary of your time. Allocate where your time is being spent. Find out where are you using your time at. And then, in order for us to go to heaven, we have to give God some time. Amen. We can't spend more time in front of the TV. Let's say you spend 4 hours in front of the TV and pray to God for 10 minutes. Well, you know what your whole appetite is going to be? It's not going to be spiritual. It's going to be carnal. Amen. The TV is just one thing. Then anything that takes away from your spirituality, it's going to be a hindrance. And we're supposed to lay aside all hindrances. It could be the TV, it could be the computer, it could be the cell phone, it could be anything. Anything that you do more than God. And the Bible says we're supposed to love the TV with all our hearts. We're supposed to love our phones with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We're supposed to love the world and the things of the world with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We're supposed to love who?
God.
Lord our God with all. Not some, but with all of our heart, our souls, and our minds. And there is, but now this is the truth. Stop sugarcoating it. Stop trying to pacify. Grow up.
Amen.
But speaking the truth, what?
In
love. Amen. When we try to teach and the ministers up here, we're not trying to do it out of anger or malice, but we try to do it out of love. For what purpose? That we may what? Grow up in Him. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why we hear the Word of God. Because it's time to do what? Grow up in Him, in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, if you're saved, you're a joint. If you're saved, you're in the church. If you're saved, you're in the church, it's time to stop being just in the church. What does the word atrophy mean? We got a lot of medical people in here, right? Atrophy means what? Shrinkage. Well, what do you get shrinkage from? A lack of what? Use. Atrophy is shrinkage. Well, how do you get shrinkage? From a lack of use. Every joint has to do what? Supply. If you're in the church, you are a member in particular. We want all to do the same thing, but you gotta do something. If you're in the church, you gotta do something. Well, I can't testify, but can you? Everybody can take a rag and wipe something down.
Well, I'm just not a people person. Well, how about using a mop? I'm not telling, this is just examples, all right? So don't think I'm trying to get y'all to come down here and clean, even though that wouldn't hurt. All right, but any joint supply. Somebody said, well, I don't have money to buy a lot of stuff and give in the church. Well, do you have enough time to use some of the things that some of the other people are buying? Every joint what? Supplier. There's something for everybody to do. Well, I don't really feel like getting out. Does the phone work? Right? You can be a witness through the phone. Pray God, I'm praying, just lead me to one or two people that I can encourage. Call, I know this is wrong, I know that God had me call you for a reason. Give them a word. There's something for all of us to do. Now, I'm not picking on all you mothers. You new mothers, you know, man, I got my baby so tied up. Does the baby ever sleep? Do they ever sleep? Right? I got little kids. Do they ever take a breath? Take a what do they call a siesta? That's for you Spanish people. Did they ever take a siesta? That's what I learned when we was in Mexico, Spain, you know, when I went to Spain, a siesta. What I'm saying is this, stop coming up with so many excuses. We all in the church should have something that we can do. So, well, I can't do anything, you can pray for those that are doing it. But you can do something. It says, every joint supply according to the effectual working in the what? Measure of every part. When everybody becomes active in the church, you know, it's good to see the same people. Aren't y'all kind of looking at each other? Don't y'all like to see somebody else different? If you got the right spirit, right? Because when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive power to be what? Witnesses. Amen. Now, the church is going to be more confusing if we still have those three gods in here. Zelos, Eros, and Decostasis. Well, there's something like that. Decostasis. Those are three gods. They represent jealousy, strife, and division. Anytime that you're not part of strife, jealousy, and division, you're on God's side. But time those things manifest or raise their ugly heads, that's karma. And Paul said we're walking as men. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 is almost as self-explanatory as Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll go back to Corinthians chapter 3. Tonight, once again, we're dealing with the fact that we need to do what? Grow up. Amen. All these petty, trite things become so insignificant. You know, even as we were at the children's hospital with my grandson on Wednesday, you know, and you watch so many kids come in and there's so many issues. The one kid, what was that, cerebral palsy or something that was in the wheelchair? The one kid was in the wheelchair, you know. When you look at so many people and the mother was so good, she just, you know, a lot of times we get so aggravated at our healthy children. You know, and acting such an ungodly way, this child was just doing everything. And you know, you didn't want to really look, but you couldn't help but notice. Because the child was in a wheelchair and he just started doing stuff and the mother was just so patient there the whole time. I believe it was the mother was so patient there the whole time. You sit there and you watch, you say, you know what, I need to thank God for my healthy children. And when I watch my healthy children, I shouldn't get so frustrated at them being a child. And you see someone else, another came in, their body was full at the top, but the legs and stuff were strong, so they was confined to a wheelchair. We have so much to thank God for. But we get blindsided to focus on all the negatives, all the foolishness, because we refuse to grow up. All right, we're going to start off in verse 8, I believe it is. We're not going to read all of this because we'd be here all night, but we're starting in verse 8. This is talking about the Lord Jesus himself, who's happened the order of Melchizedek,
But we're not here for the theological parties. In Dover, he were a son, yet learned he obedience to what? Things which he suffered. Many times we take our suffering, our challenges, to be something that is detrimental. It says the Lord himself learned what? Obedience. Learn obedience to what? The word of God. He learned obedience to God. Well, how did he learn obedience? Through the things that he suffered. Amen. In our sufferings, in our challenges, still be obedient. That's the most important thing. Be obedient to God. Well, you didn't see what he did, what she did, what they said, what they did. Do you think God saw it? Do you think God wants it? Amen. God never misses a thing. Amen. The Bible says concerning God, in case you didn't know it, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Everything is open and naked before his eyes. He said, he asked Israel a question. He said, do you think because you went to the dark spot and did it, I didn't see you? He said, it's important for you to remember, wherever you are, darkness and the light are the same because I'm God. He said, because I'm God, I don't have to come through the door. I can see you with the door being closed. Because I'm God. So God never misses anything. He sees us where we are at all times. So our gut check is this. Lord, help me to do the things that are pleasing in your eyes. Jesus learned obedience to the things which he suffered. Then he turned around and told his father, I do always those things that please you. Tonight, grow up. Grow up. It's time for us to start doing the things that please God. And no longer doing the things that please ourselves. Most of the time we gratify ourselves when we just right? Strike out, do all that foolishness. We feel good, sorry. But when you're saved, you can't really feel good. A saved individual could never be comfortable when they're acting contrary. I don't care who they are, and I don't care what the reason is. Because the scripture says concerning God, God is faithful. And God would never put more on you than you are able to. Well, it's just so hard to learn obedience through that suffering. Deal with it. Face it. Amen. God is here. I'm going to do it the way that the Word of God explains for me to do it, because that is obedience. Though he were a son, he had learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, mature. Once again, we're dealing with what? Growing up. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that you cannot be saved in disobedience. Well, I did most of it, but you just don't understand. I just couldn't take all that. Yes, you can, because the Bible says God won't put more on you than you can bear. The problem is when you're carnal and walk as men, you can't bear a lot because you're not dependent on God. But if you obey him, you can do it. Call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, send ye all. Paul was telling the Hebrew church the same thing he told the Corinthians. I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal. He said, I have many more things to say to you, but you are dull of hearing. Because you refuse to obey him. When you obey God, how? In his entirety. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, you always contemplate the decision you make before you make it. Nobody just does it extemporaneously. Right? Don't ask me to spell that. I can spell it. We don't do anything extemporaneously. In other words, every decision we make, we ponder it for a few minutes. It may not be long, but in that pondering, make a gut check.
I'm going to make this decision based on obedience to the word of God. Amen. Young people, I'm going to make this decision based on obedience to the word of God. Not anybody else. You know, we tell people, God, when you're saved, as long as you keep God first, God will be with you, God will make a way, God will help you. That's what we tell everybody else. But in our crisis moment, we don't make that decision based on the word of God. We make it based on the situation that we're in. We don't say, well, when I think about the word of God, now, I know inside of me I'm burning like a hot fire. And I know what I'm about to do, and I'm about to lash out. And the more we continue to fuel the fire, the worse it gets. And then before you know it, you just acted like the biggest devil in the world. You had a lot of time to muse. The Bible talks about musing. That means you just, you're thinking about it. Stop. Back up. Grow up and say, you know what? I'm tired of acting like this. This is so contrary to God. God gets no honor nor glory out of my life when I act like me. When I act like me, God gets no glory out of my life. But when I act like God, he does. Let me continue on. For the time he ought to be what? It's on the board. I don't mind y'all, you don't have to respond to me, but we can see what's on the board. Amen. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one
teach you again.
You've been in church long enough to be a teacher. Everybody that's been saved has been in church long enough to be a teacher. Why? How can you say that? Because if you've been in church and saved, you got God's Spirit in you. And the Bible says the Spirit will lead and guide you into, and it will also teach you so that you can teach others. If you're saved with the Holy Ghost, the only reason that you do not teach is not because you don't have the ability. It's because you will not exercise the ability. Because once we get saved, we can all teach. You say, well, how do you know? Just think of those private times when you've helped other people along. If God can bless you to do it once, right, he can do it all the time. So you ought to be teachers, you have even one teacher again, but the thing is you need to learn what are the what? Principles. You know what the principles are? You mean you got to go all the way back to the beginning of salvation? You got to go back to being a baby in Christ again? The principles of the oracle of God. And it becomes such as have need of milk. Here we are, 30, 40, and 50 years old, sucking on bottles again. Right? If who's the youngest baby in here? Well, we got two of them about the same age. Got little Jason and little Lou. We got little Jason and little Lou. In 20 years, if we see them walking around with a bottle, we're going to say, man, those parents did a really bad job. They did a poor job, right? Wouldn't y'all think they did a poor job? They still sucking on bottles at 20? Right? Gail, you wouldn't be too happy with that, would you?
No.
See, I don't think, Sister Patty, you wouldn't be too happy with seeing little Jason walk around with a bottle, right? Man, better take your 20-year-old child to the store with you, or to the mall. Right? You'd be like, go away somewhere. I don't want nobody to see you with me. He's 20 years old, stuck on a bottle. But guess what? That's a lot of our spiritual lives. Amen. We are before others. We just refuse to grow up. We keep struggling. And we have to keep going all the way back to being a baby in Christ. And we're not able to eat strong meat because we have not yet grown up. It's time that the stuff that used to bother us shouldn't bother us anymore. Because we what? Grown up. Well, I've been this way because of my impact in my life and this. You know, a lot of times they use those excuses. But Paul and the Word of God defines and denies that when he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? And then all that stuff he did did all before. It should have been what? Dead in the water. We're supposed to be in what kind of creature? New creature. Amen. I can use a lot of excuses for what I used to be and how I used to be, but I'm supposed to be a new creature. We need to grow up. He says, for everyone that uses milk is what? Unskillful in the what?
Word of righteousness.
When you have to be taught over and over again, somebody calls you up and says, well, it's brother so-and-so, I'm going to pick on the men, so the women don't think I'm picking on y'all. All right, but y'all need it too. Everybody needs it. Paul, Jesus said, what I see unto? I see unto all. They call brother so-and-so. You know what? We learned this right when we first got saved. What are you doing back there? Why are you dealing with the elementary parts of salvation? Shouldn't you be on some meat? Amen. Shouldn't you be able to eat some strong meat? Shouldn't you be able to deal with some situations? As long as you say there's going to be conflicts, it just happens. As men are going to live, God in Christ Jesus are going to suffer something. Paul said many other afflictions of the righteous. But God will deliver him out of. You're going to have conflict. Learn to handle conflicts like an adult. Stop being so childish. Learn to deal with your conflicts like an adult. And stop being so childish. Every time you go up, fly off the handle, and act ungodly, you're back on the milk. And the Bible says you are unskillful in the word of. Well, why are you unskillful in the word of righteousness? For he is a. It's time for us to what?
Grow up.
Now, you know, a lot of times we come to church and we hear, but then we let it slip. Well, you can be guaranteed God says his word will never return unto him void, but it will accomplish the things whereto he sent him. He said, just as the water comes down and waters the earth and the earth buds, so is the word of God when we receive it in our hearts. But at any time, we still have to give an account for the things which we hear. So it's time to grow up. Let's hurry and finish this. But strong meat. Amen. You can decide this. You don't need anyone else to figure this out. You can decide this for yourself. Paul makes it plain and clear. Strong meat belongs to them that are. You're grown. You're no longer made. You're no longer caught up in childish, foolish things. You're no longer hindering the work of God, but you're helping to prosper the work of God because every joint supplies. We're all functional. We're all doing a part in the church. You know, it's just like, I'm the pastor, things don't go right, so I'm going to resign tomorrow. Hello. Quitter?
Come on.
Coward? Oh, what? God called you to do a work, he's going to just quit and be a coward? The Bible says, be not weary in what?
Well-doing.
For in due season you will reap if you
faint not.
How many are faint? Oh God. Won't do anything because of foolishness. Trivial things. Babes in Christ have not yet grown up. Strong men belong to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use the word of God. Amen. When you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, use the word of God. If you're in a situation, you say, what should I do? Just think, what would Jesus do? How would he act? In what I'm doing is going to glorify God. Not get my own self-expression out, but what is going to glorify God? If you don't glorify God, if you don't have your reason of use through the word of God, then you're walking as a what?
Baby.
And you don't, you can't handle the strong meat, you can only handle milk. Reason of use have their senses exercised to discern.
Both good and evil.
What? How are your senses exercised? Because you know what exercise means? You do what? Some kind of a repetition. You're doing something over and over again. So you learn through the Word of God by using the Word. I keep using it. Every time I use it, I get that much better. And as I use it, get that much better. Now I can discern good and evil. But because what? I will keep using the Word of God. Have their senses. Sensitive to what? Sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the living God. Have their exercises so they can discern both good and evil. And let's go to the next one. Oh, have your best week. That's in there. I've never read that one. That's a good one. Which scripture is that one? Oh, yeah, that's in there. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5. Bless you, Mr. Man. No, 6. That's not it. Yes, go to chapter 6. I said next one. Chapter 6, verse 1. We're trying to deal with getting away from the principles. Amen. Getting away from the elementary parts of salvation. It's time for us to do what?
Grow up.
Amen. When you're not growing up, when you don't grow up, you're just continually dwelling and dealing with milk. I'm in the church. God expects us to get past those three God, the two of our gods, I believe, and one is a goddess. Jealousy, envy, strife, and division. Division, he said, are you not carnal and you walk as what? Man and not as saints. 6:1 said, therefore, this is what all that leads up, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to
perfection.
It's time to grow up. It's time for all of us to grow up. We can't keep living in foolishness, in triteness, and trivialness. Amen. It happened. I learned obedience to the things which I have suffered. Deal with it. Because the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, and it teaches us. Whenever God's grace is his unmerited favor, grace is what brings us through all of our trials and problems. So when we have a situation, when we lean on God's grace, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously, soberly, and most of all, godly in this present world. What teaches us? The grace of God. Teaches us how to live if we yield or surrender ourselves. When you put up a wall, then you, as we read in Ephesians, you call up the slate and the cunning and craftiness of your own self. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. How in the world do you think you can live in this flesh, contrary to God, and be blessed? Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the carnality, walking as a babe, keep drinking milk. He that soweth to drinking milk is going to reap destruction. But he that soweth to the spiritual man, the mature child of God, shall reap life everlasting. It's in the book. Therefore, even the principles of the doctrine, let us go on to let us grow up. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of the laying on of hands, or baptisms, and of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment in the next verse. And this what we do if God is always forbidding. For it is impossible. I didn't say it, the scripture says. When you grow up, when you learn to act like a mature child of God, it is impossible for those who were once, God has given you a spiritual enlightenment. Your eyes have been opened spiritually. It is impossible. Impossible means what? It's just impossible. It shouldn't happen. No other way to put it that. It's impossible for those who have tasted of the heavenly gift. You got the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And have tasted the good word of God. And the power of the world to come. If they shall. It's time to grow up. We don't want to fall away from this. We don't want to fall away from God's goodness and mercy. At home, in the street, in the schools, in the mall, in the shopping center, you still see. You still represent God. I don't care what the neighbor does. When you're driving down the street and somebody cuts you off, you're still saved. You still represent God. He said, renew them again unto what? You can't have your sins remitted the second time. They only remitted the first time. So though you repent, there's still a penalty to pay. Fly off to hell and do all that, there's still a penalty to pay. Sins are only remitted once. Then I repent, remitted the second time. So when you fall away again to repentance, this is what it says. When your life just is out, so is out of habit, out of control, wherever you are. Amen. Now, thank God, most of us have the restraint that we won't do it in church. But that's not when God watches you the most. He watches you the most when you leave church. Because now your life is a light or is a living epistle that's read on by all men, and that includes those in your house and around your house. You are now the living epistle read and known by what? All men. So this is what he said. If they fall away to repent of sin, they do what? Crucify the Son of God. In other words, you just go to God in ignorance. The scripture says, if they had known who the Lord was, they would not have crucified him. You are acting like an unbeliever or an infidel when you dishonor God through your living. And it says, your life, because your life is now a representation of Christ, because we walk not as men, but walk as children of God, because now are we sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. So now we are sons of God. As a son of God, we walk in dishonor and shame. We crucify the Son of God afresh. Amen. In other words, we just make a mockery of God as though he doesn't mean anything when we act in our own self-will. We crucify him all over again, and it says we put him to a what? Open shame. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. We'll finish up here. It's time for us to do what? If you don't know if you've grown, just read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, to read chapter 2 also, because it's dealing with the natural man and walking in the flesh. But read in particular chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 5. That lets you know if you're grown or if you're still sucking on bottles. If you haven't passed the stage. 16 reads. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Read 3, 1 through 6. That identifies carnality. Hebrews 5 identifies teaching, having a need to be taught what we should teach. Alright? So know ye not that ye are the what? You are the temple of God. What makes us the temple of God? His spirit is what?
In us.
His spirit is in you. You know, you ever say, you know, you wouldn't act like that if such and such was watching you. Everywhere you go, guess what? You take God's spirit with you.
Yes.
Everywhere you go, God's spirit is with you. Why? Because he's in you. Yes. Not only is he in you, he's all around you. So now you are the temple of God, and then the spirit of God what?
Dwelleth in you.
Dwelleth in us.
Because his spirit, the fruit of the spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meek, temperance, long-suffering, faith. And I forgot one, but he said, against such there is, if we're going to do anything, why not do it God's way? God doesn't, in other words, you can't do too much of any of that. Because those are evidence of the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shared abroad in our hearts by the what? Holy Ghost. So God is spirit because his love is in us for us to display the fruits of the Spirit. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. When we dishonor God, when we defile the temple, and he goes, it actually means our living, how you live, the way you conduct yourself. When you defile the temple, God will destroy. For the temple of God is which temple ye are. Let no man. That's the problem. We try and excuse our mannerism and our behavior away. He said, no, no, no. Don't what? Don't deceive yourself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be
wise.
Submit to God. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Our decisions, our lives, whatever we do should not be based on the foolishness of this world. When we walk as men and act as babes, that is the foolishness of this world. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own. Remember in Ephesians we read about craftiness and handling the word of God, what? Deceitfully. So he said, don't be deceived. Don't live by the wisdom of this world. Don't live in craftiness. Craftiness is you misrepresent the truth. You misrepresent what really happened. So in order for you not to look bad, you have to use your craft. In order not to look bad, we use our craft. What is my craft? I got to figure out how to make this, what was a raging bear, look like a calm lamb. So in order for you to do it, you have to be crafty. Right? You don't want somebody to say, well, like I said, I saw it happen before. I had some funny situations, but I don't want to mention them because then some of y'all might guess who they were. Because y'all was where I was at. So I'm not going to do that. Because we're not here to expose others. We're here to help ourselves. But I've seen people act some contrary ways and then say, oh, I love the Lord. And God is good. If he's good, act like he's good. Don't be crafty. Be real. Be honest. Walk uprightly. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts. He knows that foolishness. He said, they are what? Vain. When you walk in your own craftiness, according to your own will, your own desire, they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are. The Bible says concerning our light afflictions. Whatever we go through is a light affliction that lasts for a moment. But it says it's going to all redound or result into the glory of God when we endure it. We must endure these sufferings. Because he says, all things are for your sake. Whatever happened is for your sake. Paul is telling the Hebrew church the same thing. And ye are Christ, and Christ is as we stand. Tonight we need to do what? Grow up. If you're not doing anything in the church, do something. Find something to do. Because you are a joint. And the Bible says every joint does what? Don't deal in craftiness. Don't deal in deceit. Let no man deceive himself. The deception is this. We think that we can try to excuse our mannerisms and the way we act because we're using our craft.
Your craft is, for years, you've learned how to trick others. But God sees us as we are. God does not miss a thing. God sees us right where we are. So I say this, it's time for us all to do what? Grow up. Be a child of God. Be mature and stop walking like babies. Amen. Let us all stand.